Psalm chapter 4, I'm going to allow you just to remain seated tonight. The Bible said, "Hear me when I call." This is the Psalm of David. "O God of my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe David knew something about distress? I believe he did. I believe he did. He said, "Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." Our message tonight is coming out of verse number 4. We'll be preaching in the entire psalm, but what the Bible said here, stand in awe. We've been preaching on standing in the evil day. And tonight, God wants to speak to our heart about standing in awe. I believe if we're not careful, we let the things of this world and the trials of life knock the wonder out of us and knock the awe out of us. I'm a child of the King tonight. The devil wants me to get over that. But I tell you tonight, I'm determined by the grace of God to cross the finish line, remembering I'm headed to a place I don't deserve to go to, with a people that I don't even deserve to fellowship with, to meet a Savior that I sure don't deserve to bow before. But that's where I'm headed tonight, and I don't want to lose the awe of it all. Amen. I want to stand in awe in the evil day. The Bible said, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased." I don't know if any of you ever grew up on a farm or not. They used to have, in Southwest Virginia, where my dad grew up, the cash crop was tobacco. And I'm telling you, when they had a good crop, they rejoiced in that. But that was going to pay the bills. And as far as I know, my grandparents were never ahead. In other words, when they got paid, they were paying for the year where they had been borrowing against at the store and things all year long, and paying the payment and things of that nature. But the Bible said here, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart." I could see the gladness in their heart when the crop was good, amen, and everything was good on the farm. And then he said, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Amen. It's not our military. The Bible said some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. I'm for a strong military. I'm for law enforcement through and through. I'm for those things. But I tell you, that should not be where our trust is. And where our confidence is, our confidence ought to be in the Lord. Let's pray tonight and we'll get started. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the privilege, Lord, to be here. God, our hearts have been stirred by the wonderful singing. Lord, it's just a blessing to be among you people. A blessing, our Father, to be able to walk, to be able to talk, to be able to see, to be able to hear, to be able, Lord, to know in our heart that heaven will be our home when we leave this world. I pray now, Father, that you'll just bless the service tonight. God, honor us with your presence, and we'll give you glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before I get started, I want to welcome my buddy Colson to the service tonight. Amen. And Colson, can you speak pretty loud? I would like for you to tell everybody how old your papaw is. He's older than dirt. Amen. Colson was having surgery. I guess that's been 5 or 6 years ago, ain't it, Brother Larry? and he was having surgery, and he was kind of nervous about it. We were there in the waiting room with it, and I told him, I said, go over and tell your papa he's older than dirt. And he ain't never forgot it. Amen. He never forgot it. Well, tonight, let's talk about this standing in awe in the evil day. The things that God put on my heart, I just want to stay in the psalm if I can tonight. We might turn to another passage of scripture here and there, but the thoughts will come right from the psalm. Well, to stand in awe, number one, that he hears us. Aren't you glad sitting at the right hand of the Father, we have an intercessor tonight, one that we can talk to? You might say, well, Pastor, nobody knows what I'm going through. Can I tell you this? He knows everything that you're going through. That's what the Bible meant when it said he was tempted in all points like as we are. We have a faithful high priest, beloved, that's able to secure, able to comfort those that come to him in prayer. And David says here a couple of different times, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You go on down, he said in verse number 3, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. I'm reminded of a time when I was a child. My mother at the time, I think she had made a profession of faith, but later she got saved. And my mother at the time, she told me something that I've never forgotten. I was young, 5-6 years old, and I had severe, terrible earaches until they took out my tonsils. And when they took out my tonsils, all that went away. I never had an earache again after that. And I'm telling you, an earache is right there with a toothache. I mean to tell you, it's painful. And I can remember my mother at the time, we didn't know what Pampers were. I don't know if they were being made at the time, but we had cloth diapers, and Mom would take and lay that cloth diaper on the oil stove and warm it up and fold it and wrap it around my head. Those ears just killing me, amen. But Mama said something to me one night that I'll never forget. She said, honey, talk to Jesus. She said, he won't hear Mama, but he'll hear you. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something tonight, beloved. The Bible said, beloved, over there that if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. But yet Mama knew that youngin. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Please don't take offense to this. I'd just soon have a youngin praying for me as anybody in this world. Amen. They know how to believe, don't they? They know they trust God. They know how to have faith in God. And I can remember as a youngster that stuck in my heart and in my mind that there was somebody up there that a little boy could talk to and that he would hear that little boy's prayer. And I tell you, I wasn't saved till I was 27 years old. But I thank God for those, we sing about them in Bible school, those itty bitty seeds that were sown in my heart along the way that made a difference, amen, in my life. So I want to stand in awe of the fact that he hears me. If you think you deserve a place in the throne room of God, you're wrong. It's by the grace of God, amen, that God saved us and then invited us, amen. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I thank the Lord for that tonight. Then the second thing in the message, we not only need to stand in awe because he hears us, he hears me, but we ought to stand in awe because he clothed me. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look in verse number 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You know what the Lord did when he saved me? He put a robe on me. Listen to me. He imputed to me the righteousness of his dear son. I'm not naked before him. Amen. I am clothed in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, stand in all of that. I believe if you get a hold of it, you would. Amen. That you and I, beloved, are going to be welcome into heaven, not because of who we are, not because of what we've done,
but because of who he is and what he did for us at Calvary. Amen. Apart from the imputed righteousness, and that's wonderful. Listen, I just had another thought that he took away. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord doth not impute sin. He took my sin away. Amen. And then clothe me in the righteousness of his son. And listen, I like to trade around every once in a while. That's the best trade I ever made in my life. When I, beloved, traded my sin for the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't ever want to get over the awe. Just stand in awe. Amen. I know it's an evil day. And if we're not careful, we'll get horizontal vision and all we'll see is the evil. But Paul said we need to look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. These things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We can stand in awe of him tonight. I believe David got a hold of that. I wonder how many times David laid out there with the sheep when he was a shepherd and looked up in those stars and just laid there meditating, amen, and was in awe of the creation of God, amen, in awe. The Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God. And so tonight there's two things so far. We can stand in awe in this evil day because he hears us, because he's clothed us. And by the way, beloved, I want to turn to Romans real quick. Turn to Romans chapter 3 real quick. The Bible said here in the text in the book of Psalms, he calls it my righteousness. O God of my righteousness. But in Romans, I want you to see this tonight. And don't ever forget this, where that righteousness come from. The Bible said in verse 25 of chapter 3, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sin that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You say, Pastor, why did you read that tonight? Because when we say my righteousness, it's his righteousness that he has given to us. Amen. It's not that we boast in anything. Paul said, beloved, he told us over there, and I believe it was in the book of Philippians, he counted all of his righteousness but dung that he might win Christ. Amen. And so tonight, he hears us. That ought to cause us to stand in awe of him. He's clothed us. That ought to cause us to stand in awe. But then look with me, if you will. The Bible said here in the same verse, have mercy upon me. So he said, hear me. He said, it's my righteousness. And then he said, have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. And I believe tonight we ought to stand in awe of God's mercy. God gave us a wonderful ministry in the prisons. I tell you, I believe, I know why God gave us a wonderful, because every time I walked into a prison door, every time I heard the gate close behind me, every time I stepped up to a cell, I realized it's the grace of God, big boy, that it ain't you. Amen. I never went in there looking down at those men, but I went in there, beloved, realizing that the same God that picked me up out of the muck and the mire could have mercy on them just like he had on me. Many times preaching, Brother Larry, in the prison, it may not be so with you, brother, but it may be sower than anybody knows. Amen. But I'd tell the men, the only difference between me and you is you got caught. You say, Pastor, I wouldn't say something like that. Let me tell you this. I will say this. If you've ever driven a vehicle one time under the influence, beloved, you could spend the rest of your life in prison. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know why they ever called it Budweiser. It never made anybody wiser. It should have been Bud Dumber. Amen. Bud makes you do dumb things, say dumb things, go dumb places. Amen. It never made anybody wiser. It's not a high life. Miller needs to know that. It's a low life. Amen. I tell you, you say, Pastor, what happened to you? I tell you what happened. I changed fountains. I tell everybody when I got saved, I didn't quit drinking. I just changed fountains. I'm drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I. My soul they satisfy. Thank God Almighty tonight he had mercy. upon me. I didn't deserve that mercy, and you didn't either. And by the way, if you got saved as a youngin, or you got saved and you never got involved in the things of this world, thank God, that's the best testimony anybody could ever have in this world, amen. But God saved you, and it took the same mercy, it took the same grace, it took the same beloved love of God to reach down where you are as it did to reach down where I was that night. David, the man after God's own heart, God had mercy on David. And then the Bible said this. We'll move on to the second set of things in the message tonight. He hears me. That ought to cause us to stand in awe. He's clothed me. That ought to cause us to stand in awe. He's had mercy on me. That ought to cause me to stand in awe. But then the word of God said here in verse number 3, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. You see, that's what sanctification is. God sets us apart, a vessel, sanctified, meet for the master's use. You say, Pastor, you bragging on yourself? Oh, no. I'm telling you, honey, I couldn't pick myself out of that mess. I tried over and over and over. But the same God that saved me, now listen, that salvation was won, amen, and done. God saved me. This sanctification thing is a process, amen. Thank God the children got it right when they're singing the song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. Now, I love this line. How loving, Brother Jack, and patient he must be. He's still working on me, amen. God said here, he set us apart. I don't know about you, but I don't deserve to be standing where I'm standing, doing what I'm doing. Amen. Never have I deserved that, but I want to stand in awe that the likes of him can use the likes of me for his honor and for his glory. And I believe, beloved, every dad ought to stand in awe that you could be the Christian daddy that God wants you to be and be the Christian husband that God wants you to be. We ought to stand in awe. Never get over. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, I saw a shirt one time years ago. It said, I'll never get over the hill. And it had Calvary. A picture. That's a hill. I don't ever want to get over. I don't want to ever get past being able just to stop and be still and hear him say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Thank the Lord tonight. He sanctified us, set us apart. The Bible said in John 17, we're in the world. Yes, we are. But thank God Almighty, we're not of the world. Amen. Thank the Lord tonight. Now, if we stand in awe in the evil day, in awe of the fact that he hears us and he's clothed us and he's had mercy upon us, he separated us. Paul said he separated me unto the gospel of God. Beloved, let me say this to you tonight. Separation, when it is preached, and that's not very often anymore, sometimes is only preached one side of it. In sanctification, God's not just separating us from sin. He's got a job over here for us to do. That's why Paul said he separated me unto the gospel of God. Amen. So God's not just cleaning us up, amen, so we can stand there and be a pretty trophy. He wants to use us. He wants us to be a vessel unto honor. Meet, sanctified, meet for the master's use. Now, because of these things, he hears us. He's clothed us. He's had mercy upon us. He's separated us. Because of these things, there's four things I want to give you tonight that I believe will be evident in our life. Number one, I want you to just look at the text here with me tonight. The Bible said, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. How many knows tonight that when there's something hurting, I'm talking about whether it's physically or whether it's emotionally, something we're going through, or something our children are going through, or something our spouse is going through. How many knows that those thoughts, when we lay down at night, we're laying there on our bed, they tend to take over. Is that not right? But watch what the Bible said here. Stand in awe and sin not. He said, commune with your own heart upon your bed. What if we turned that into a spirit of thankfulness? What if we begin to, beloved, just turn the tables on old Slewfoot, amen, and begin to thank God as we laid there. Lord, thank you there's a roof over my head. Thank you for the friends that we have. Sometimes, beloved, I've been guilty of this. Listen, sometimes you forget to thank God for those that are doing right because there's one consuming your thoughts that's not doing right. How many's with me tonight? Amen. I'm just telling you tonight, beloved, listen. God says here to commune with your heart upon your bed and be still. I believe we begin to thank him. How many is, listen, if you've ever laid down hungry, I hope it's because you chose. Maybe it was a time of fasting and you chose to lay down hungry. But I'm going to be honest with you. There's never been a time in my life, not one day, Brother Junior, not one, that I've laid down hungry because I didn't have something to eat. You say, Pastor, that's so elementary. That's our problem. Listen, if we could go around the world and see how people live, amen, see those children that Brother Keith's ministered to over there, go spend a couple nights in a tent over there not knowing whether you'll come back with malaria or not, amen. I believe we'd say, God, thank you for a clean home. Thank you for air conditioning. Thank you for a roof over my head. Thank you for something to eat. Thank you for clothes to wear. Thank you, God, for the food that's in the cupboard. I'm telling you, beloved, God has been good to us. I believe when we stand in awe, then there'll be a spirit of thankfulness. But then I believe there'll be a spirit of faithfulness. The Bible said here in verse number 5, offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Sometimes we think faithful is just showing up, but really faithful is full of faith. Amen. If it's not faith that's causing us to show up, amen, then we're really not faithful. Amen. And here in the Word of God, David had learned to trust in the Lord. And because he was able to stand in awe, there was a thankfulness about him. There was a faithfulness about him. In verse number 7, there was a gladness about him. The Bible said, thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I don't know about you tonight. I like being around people that are glad. I can't forget what Sawyer said. They baptized 7 or 8 or 9 people that night down there and asked every one of them if they wanted to say anything. Not a one of them said a word. They come to Sawyer and you could just barely see his head. And pastor said, Brother Chris said to Sawyer, he said, Sawyer, you want to say anything? He said, I just want to say, I'm glad I'm saved. I say hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. That's saying a mouthful. Amen. The little children pray the prayer, God is good, God is great. Let us thank him for our food. By his hand we are fed. Give us now our daily bread. You say, well, I wouldn't brag on a prayer like that. It says more than a whole lot of prayers say. Amen. Especially when it's coming from right there. David had a gladness about him. And then this last thing is no less important. There was a peacefulness about him. Brother Gary, you mentioned this morning, how that God to smother you. Amen. And you're not alone, brother. There are people sitting in this building tonight. If it wasn't for God and God's peace. Look what he said in verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Amen. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. That message Brother Keith preached about putting your soul in the hands of the Lord. That blessed my heart. Amen. That blessed my heart. Well, guess what? I've never tried to take it back. You know what? I can lay down tonight and sleep like a baby. You know why? 2 reasons. I'm old and wore out, and I know that God's got me. Amen. He's got me in the palm of his hand. there's a peacefulness. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. And then he said this, not as the world giveth I unto you. See, the world, it's even taught that in the tribulation, there's going to be a false sense of peace. When they say peace and safety, then come a sudden destruction. You read that, H. over in the book of Peter, I believe it is. But I want you to understand this tonight. God's people, we don't have a false sense of peace. We know who we belong to. And we're confident, Sister Linda, that he which begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Ain't that good to know? Amen. You can sleep. You can pillow your head on that tonight. Amen. I mean, he's glad you come this way tonight.